Welcome to this daily PPJ devotional. This devotional is about Luke 7. When Jesus had concluded his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. There a highly valued servant of a centurion was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. They came to Jesus and pleaded with him earnestly, "This man is worthy to have you grant this, for he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends with the message, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell one to go, and he goes, and another to come, and he comes. I tell my servant to do something, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled at the centurion. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And when the messengers returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. His disciples went with him, accompanied by a large crowd. As he approached the town gate, he saw a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Then Jesus gave him back to his mother. A sense of awe swept over all of them, and they glorified God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has visited his people." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding region. Then John's disciples informed him about all these things. So John called two of his disciples and sent them to ask the Lord, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we look for someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we look for someone else?'" At that very hour, Jesus healed many people of their diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers had left, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Otherwise, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Look, those who wear elegant clothing and live in luxury are found in palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people who heard this, even the tax collectors, acknowledged God's justice, for they had received the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. "To what, then, can I compare the men of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at this glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." Then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a sinful woman from that town learned that Jesus was dining there, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. Then she kissed his feet and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who this is and what kind of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner." But Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men were debtors to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they were unable to repay him, he forgave both of them. Which one, then, will love him more?" "I suppose the one who was forgiven more," Simon replied. "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I arrived. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is God's word. Jesus has gone public now and has been attracting more and more attention in his area. That attention continued as he performed miracles such as healing the dying in verses 1 through 10 and raising the dead in verses 11 through 17. His message was right, but his actions were not what John the Baptist expected. So when John, who was in prison at the time, heard about Jesus and his actions, he sent some disciples of his to ask Jesus to identify himself, as we saw in verses 18 through 27. After reassuring John through his disciples in verses 21 through 23, Jesus began to probe what the people who followed Jesus thought of John the Baptist. We saw that in verses 24 through 27. After asking some probing questions to get people to think about the meaning of John's life and ministry in verses 24 through 26, Jesus affirmed that John was a prophet. But he was a prophet plus more. A prophet plus, you might say, according to verse 26b. According to Jesus in verse 27, John was, in fact, the forerunner promised in the Old Testament to Messiah. But then Jesus raised the importance of John even further with a twist. According to Jesus, John was the greatest mortal man who ever lived. We saw that in verse 28a. That's quite a statement and quite an assessment to make about anyone, but especially coming from Jesus. But then Jesus said something even more intriguing. He said this, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he is," meaning John. The most insignificant person who arrives in God's kingdom is greater than the greatest man who ever lived in this life in human history, according to Jesus. Why is that true? The answer is that John, great as he was a sinner. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is not a sinner. Sinners are not allowed into the kingdom of heaven, so there are no sinners there. Consequently, everyone who is there is a better person than John was. The kingdom of God must be an empty place then, right? Because I and everyone I know is a sinner. And that's where Jesus comes in and why he came into the world in the first place. Jesus the man lived a sinless life, the sinless life that would qualify any person to enter the kingdom of God. He was able to do that as a man because he was also God. As God, Jesus didn't need to earn his way into the kingdom of God. It already belonged to him. So in the great act theologians call imputation, God gave sinners access to his kingdom based on the perfect life of Jesus Christ. God imputed, that is, he credited, Christ's righteousness to those who believe him for it. On the opposite side of that coin, God also credited to Jesus the guilt for human sin, which Jesus paid for through his death on the cross. For those who believe this message, that Jesus died for our sins and that his righteousness is imputed to us by faith, for those who believe that message, God imputes your guilt to Christ, who paid it in full, and he imputes Christ's righteousness to you. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. When you get there, God will transform you completely so that you never want or will sin again. Thus, you'll be a better human being than John the Baptist was, the greatest man who has ever lived in this life. This is an important truth for our salvation. It is one that everyone must humble himself to believe. Even the most morally upright person must admit his sin and his need of salvation. But many people are too proud for that. So Luke told us in verse 29 that those who knew they were sinners were getting into the kingdom, while those who were really religious, according to verse 30, were missing out on what God had done. Because in humility, they didn't admit their sin and come to Christ for salvation. Don't let that be you. Don't let your pride keep you from an eternity in God's presence and in his kingdom. Also know that if you have trusted Christ, God treats you as perfect now, even though you aren't yet. God treats every believer as better than John the Baptist already, because God imputes to us, he gives us credit for Christ's perfection, his perfect righteousness. So don't let your sins and failures discourage you. Keep growing in your faith and keep trusting God to change you, and know that God is not counting those sins against you anymore. You're on his side now because of Jesus. So you can feel secure and forgiven while you grow to become like him. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and you can have a free email subscription to them every day. You can also support me financially if you would like to do so. Go to dailypbj.com/support. And you can really help me by sharing this with someone else. It might be good for them spiritually, and it'll help me grow my audience. So please consider doing that, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day today.